We are reading from Canto 2 and chapter 4 and verses number 3 to 4. Is that right? Yes, correct. Okay, so we start. O great sages, the great soul, Maharaj Parikshit, constantly wrapped in thought of Lord Krishna, knowing well of his imminent death, renounced all sorts of productive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in his natural love for Krishna and asked all these questions exactly as you are asking me. So, I will try and just give a reference to the previous verses, and then we'll continue with the purport by Srila Prabhupada. To become a pure devotee of the Lord, two things are very much essential. Namely, having a chance to be born in a family of a devotee and having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. So, Maharaj Parikshit was both. He was born in the family of the Pandavas. He was grandson of Arjun. So his lineage was very clear. He's from a very nice devotee family. And then you will find later that he has also got a spiritual master. So Maharaj Parikshit had Sukadev Goswami as his spiritual master. So when we have two things, one, good birth, so in a family of devotees, and then second, if you have a spiritual master, then you're on the way to progress in spiritual life. So Maharaj Parikshit was fortunate, and he had a guru. And he started asking questions. And as we know in Bhagavad Gita, we have to ask questions in a nice manner, submissive manner. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions. Sukadeva Goswami is answering them. They are both qualified in their own fields. One is very expert at hearing and one is expert at speaking. So Maharaj Parikshit, how is he listening? In the verse it says he's listening with rapt attention. So here I can see every single person is actually listening with rapt attention. What is this Prabhu going to speak? Now first I have to admit myself, I'm not qualified, but the Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas here and online. So I ask your blessings first before I can speak any good words. So please, I beg your forgiveness, ask your permission and blessings. Okay, so we'll carry on. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The three activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. And fourth one is moksha, liberation. But we'll come to that. But here, the words tri-vargikam. So when you see the translation of that, tri-vargikam, the three principles, religion, economic development, and sense gratification. These are three things which everyone does in this world, even devotees. We have to earn our living, basically, somehow or other. And then we can function properly. Right, so we'll come back to that. The three activities, religion, economic development, and sense gratification, are generally attractive for conditioned souls struggling for existence in the material world. Such regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas are called karma kandya, conception of life. And householders are generally recommended to follow the rules just to enjoy material prosperity both in this life and in the next. So, you know, people go to church or temple, pray, come here, pray, help me with my studies, help me get educated, let me find a house, let me find a nice wife or a nice husband. So, people come and they want to satisfy their senses. This is the main point. They are the center of attraction, not Krishna. They come here, see Krishna in the center, but they don't want to put Krishna in the center of their lives. This is the main difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Let's put it simple. So, devotee wants to put Krishna in the center. You are all here. We are all serving Krishna in some way or another. But majority of people, 99.9%, they want to come, get something from Krishna, not give something to Krishna. They want to get something from Krishna and then use it for their own senses. So that's the point here. So it's, in the Vedas, it's called the Karma Kandya section. Come, do some puja, do this, do that, then expect some results, you know. So usually, you know, the cases of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all demigods, you go to them, they are easily pleased and they give you what you want. So you can demand what you want. But with Krishna, he's kind. He says, I'll give you something which will help you come towards me, come closer to me. If it is not in going to help you in your devotional service, I will not give. So he's very strict. He only gives what he thinks is better for us. So this is the beauty of our Krishna. So let's move on because it's such a long purport. So I will talk in between. And if anybody actually has any burning questions, you can put your finger up so we can actually have a discussion. Yes? So it's a long purport. Householders are generally recommended to follow these rules just to enjoy material prosperity both in this life and the next. So most people are attracted by such activities. Even in the activities of the modern godless civilization, people are more concerned with economic development and sense gratification without any religious sentiments. You know, it's almost 100 years since Srila Prabhupada got his first instruction from his Guru Maharaj. And things have changed in 100 years. Earlier in the, when Prabhuji gave class yesterday, you know, the people had elephants and horses, etc. Nowadays, of course, I have seen myself in the last 2 years since COVID, so many people have dogs. And they go out for a walk with the dogs and they are attached to the dogs, but they are serving the dogs. We'll come back to that in a minute. They are serving the dogs. So, sense gratification. You know, they can't divert their senses to God. They hardly go to church, they hardly go to temple, hardly go here, there. But in the house, you know, you can have a temple environment. So, in the last 2 years, I've never actually listened to so many classes. You know, I must admit, you know, Zoom classes with Maharajis. You just open the Zoom and you hear Katha, Krishna Katha. You know, for 2 years, I think I'm absorbed. Bang, bang, bang. So, this is me anyway. That's me. Okay, so as a great emperor of the world, Maharaj Pariksit had to observe such regulations of the Vedic Karma Kandya section. So he was also doing it, karma, you know, yajnas and this and that, Maharaj Pariksit. But what happened to him? We've all met Srila Prabhupada, directly and indirectly. So Maharaj Pariksit met who? Sukadev Goswami. Here, there it is. It was, I think, in the previous verse, or previous verse to that. Right, here. It's verse 1 actually. Purport. Lord specifically saved Maharaj Parikshit. He showed him a special favor. By the arrangement of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit was able to get the association of such a spiritual master as Sukadeva Goswami. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that a fortunate person, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Lord Krishna, achieves the path of devotional service. So this moment of association changed Maharaj Parikshit's life. So this is what we need. We need Srila Prabhupada's association. Right. So where were we? So even Maharaj Parikshit, a great emperor, he had to observe all these regulations. But slight association, this is the line, very important line, you can highlight it. Such a slight association with Sukadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, for whom he had natural love since his birth, is everything. And thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Vedic karmakandya activities. So you see, Maharaj Parikshit was focused, and we'll come to that last verse in the, not last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, but we'll come to it last. That is verse number 2, chapter 2 and verse 41, where we'll discuss about Vyavas Atmika Buddhi. So we'll discuss about that later on. So this perfectional stage is attained by a jnani after many, many births. The jnanis or empirical philosophers endeavoring for liberation are thousands of times better than the fruitive workers. So, jnanis are better than fruitive workers. Out of hundreds of thousands of such jnanis, one is liberated factually. And out of hundreds of thousands of such liberated persons, even one person is rarely found who can firmly fix his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, as declared by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. So, shall we refer to 7.19? Let's do that. 7.19. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanamam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma su durlaba. So here, and I'll just read the translation, it's easier. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So, in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has, you know, developed, made or produced so many devotees, but still, in the whole population, it's even less than 0.0001%. So, we are, people in ISKCON, they are very great souls actually, very great souls. I can see one in front, but we won't mention his name. Everyone knows. So, let's move on. After many, many births, yes, great soul. So, out of hundreds, one person is rarely found who can firmly fix his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, as declared by Lord. Maharaj Parikshit is specially qualified with the word Mahamanaha, which puts him on an equal level with the Mahatmas described in the Bhagavad Gita. In the later age also, there have been many Mahatmas of this type, and they also gave up karmakandya conceptions of life, solely and wholly depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself, taught us in his Shikshastaka. Ashlishyava padaratam pinastu mam adarshanan marma hatam karotiva. Yatatatha va vidatato lampato mat prananata suseyavana paraha. Lord Krishna, who is the lover of many devotees, may embrace this fully surrendered maidservant, or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me broken-hearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time. But still, he is nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. So, in the purport here by Srila Prabhupada's long one, first one, Lord Chaitanya glorifies Krishna, then Rupa Goswami glorifies, then Madhavendra Puri, who is the grand spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master is Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri's guru is Madhavendra Puri. So, this is the relationship. So, in Madhavendra Puri, he will also speak a little. And then we'll find that Prahlad Maharaj also wants to say something in this particular verse. So, there's so many. And then, of course, Krishna wants to sum it up in Bhagavad Gita 2.41. Okay, so Lord, we've just mentioned this. Let's see what Rupa Goswami has to say. Virachaya mai dannam jina bandhu dayami bha gate ihana bhavata kachit anyam hamasti nipatato sata koti nirparamva navambaha tad api kila payodastu yate chatakena. This is a very nice story about the chataka bird. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to accept your lordship. The chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbird. Now, just a little explanation. This bird, chataka, does anybody know what is special about it? Yes? No? Only rainwater. Very good. So, thirsty, hungry, whatever, you know, he'll just tolerate and just wait for the rain. This is special, you know. I mean, I think today is Ekadasi, so we should actually be fasting. I know a lot of people. My close friend, his mother and father, all these years, until I think last year, 2 years ago, his father passed away. But they always, Ekadasi, no drinking, no eating. Amazing. They were in the 90s. Mother is still alive. 90 odd something. But, you know, I've always eaten once. I'll be honest. When I was younger days, eat once. Join ISKCON, eat 5 times minimum, you know. So I don't know. Something changed there. I think it's the prasadam. So, chatak bird, he's so special. He will be satisfied with just the rainwater, pure rainwater. Sorry. Have I seen? I don't think so. I'm not that fortunate. Sorry, anybody seen? Chatak bird, anybody seen? What it looks like? I don't know the description. I'm very ignorant. I'm sorry. We'll have to do some research. So we continue. This chatak bird is very special. So he's tolerant. Here, Maharaj, actually, by the way, I think if I'm right, while this Bhagavatam was being spoken, I think nobody ate or drank for 7 days. I know when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, everyone was taking darshan and they were taking shelter of Krishna. But that time, 7 days and seven nights, nobody felt hungry or thirsty. It's amazing, isn't it? Let's carry on with this because it's long purport and time is going fast. Hare Krishna. Now, Madhavendra Puri, let's see. Okay. Sri Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, took leave of all karmakandya obligations in the following words. Sandhya vandana bhatram astu bhavato bhosnana tubhyam namo bodeva pitarascha tarpana vidhau naham shrama shamyatam yatra kapai nishitaya yadava kula tamashya kam satvishaha smaram smaram agam haramitad alam manye kim anye name. O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sins simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of further endeavors? Sri Madhavendra Puri, sir, said further, Mugdam mam nigadantot niti nipuna paranta muhur vaidikaha mandam bandava sanchayas chada diyam mukta dara sotarha anmatam danino viveka chatura kamam mahadambikam muktam na shamate manat api manogovinda padas priyaham. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. And Prahlad Maharaj said, Dharmatha kama iti yo vihitas trivarga ikshatraye naya damo vivade chavata manyetad etad akilam nigamashya satyam svatma parnam swasurida paramashya pumshaha. Religion, economic development and sense gratification are celebrated as three means of attaining the path of salvation. Of this, ikshatrayi, especially knowledge of the self, knowledge of the fruitive acts and logic and also politics and economics are different means of livelihood. All these different subjects of Vedic education and therefore I consider them temporary engagements. On the other hand, surrendering unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu is a factual gain in life. And I consider it the ultimate truth. The whole matter is concluded in the Bhagavad Gita 241 as Vyavas Atmika Buddhihi, or the absolute path of perfection. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, the great Vaishnava scholar, defines this as Bhagavat Archana Rupaika Nishkama Karma Bihi Vishuddha Chitta, accepting transcendental loving service to the Lord as prime duty, free from fruitive reaction. So Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he firmly accepted the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, renouncing all karmakandya conceptions of life. So we'll just read the main verse here. Vyavyas Atmika Buddhe Eke Ekaha Guru Nandanaha Bahu shakha hi anantascha buddhayo vyavasahishayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Gurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. This sums up everything we just read by Srila Prabhupada. He says the strong faith in Krishna consciousness, then you are actually using your vyavas atmika buddhi. Intelligence. Faith means something sublime. So how did Maharaj Parikshit get his faith? Does anybody know? Probably. Yes, that was the first. He was wondering, because he was almost about to be killed by this Brahmastra. But then Krishna comes in the womb of Uttara and he actually protects the womb. So he had a bit of glimpse, but I don't think we can remember anything. But he was special, he could remember everything. So he was trying to examine, this is why his name is Parikshit. He's trying to examine, I've seen this Lord before. So all the time he's thinking that, you know, let me see who is Krishna. But then he gets information from his grandparents. You know, all the Pandavas were very, very famous, so they all talk about Krishna. And I'm reading in a deeper way Canto 10, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj is actually welcoming Krishna to his Rajasuya sacrifice. So Uddhava is being asked as a minister, you know, there were some kings who were trapped by Charasandha. And then a messenger from the kings came to Dwarka and asked, Krishna, please come and help us, release us. And then at the same time, after that message, or at that instant, Naraguni appears. And he comes in the assembly hall and he says, Krishna, you are actually wanted by your cousins because they want to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice. So in that anyway, Rajasuya sacrifice, they have to conquer all the directions. So Yudhishthira sends his brothers, four brothers in four different directions. They win everyone except for one person, and that is Charasandha. So that way, you know, Charasandha gets defeated by Bhima, and Arjun goes and Krishna goes as dressed up as Brahmanas. And Charasandha actually is very kind to Brahmanas. So he says, okay, what would you like? So then they said, we want a duel. And of course, Bhima is the only qualified person to fight. So that was quite an interesting story that, you know, Bhima and Charasandha, they do a one-to-one battle. So once Charasandha is defeated, that means his kingdom is also surrendering to Yudhishthira. And then the Rajasuya sacrifice can be performed. So it all fits in. Krishna has his plan, you know, this way, that's why, this way, this way. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is so fortunate to meet a devotee, number one. Number two, his faith, like Nishkanchana Prabhu mentioned. Right from birth, he had faith in Krishna. Most of us, you know, we have faith in somebody, but we develop faith in Krishna through Srila Prabhupada. So everyone, some people have seen Srila Prabhupada, some people haven't. But through his books, we develop faith. Once we develop faith, then we can enter into Krishna consciousness, the path of Krishna consciousness. So then, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, is renunciation of the material conception of life. Now this is big thing. So what is Maharaj Parikshit doing here? He knows he has 7 days to live. He gives up this kingdom, he gives up this, he gives up his family, he gives up everything. So that's real renunciation. And then we go on to our verse, back to our verse. Try Vargikam. So try Vargikam. What does that mean? Three things. One is you are renouncing sense gratification. Yes? What's the first one? Religion, yes. Economic development, three. Yeah? Fourth one is moksha, but it is not listed in here. So three things. So sense gratification. Yeah, he's giving up all his kings, horses, like you mentioned, you know, the family, everyone. Family, everyone. He gives up everyone. But he associates with Sukadev Goswami. So actually, two years before COVID, I left home and I joined Maharaj gave me this opportunity, so I went with Maharaj. So what did I do? I left my family. I left everything. See, I was with Maharaj. So when you're with Maharaj, you know, this is it. Maharaj Parikshit is with Sukadeva Goswami. We are with our Maharajis for a little while. And it makes a difference because you are away from your family. So this is renunciation. So he perfected it. So Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sahamatma Sudulabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. Also it says, you know, when you water the root of a tree and when you feed the stomach basically, then all the parts become lively, enlivened, the senses become enlivened. So simply here, if you just take shelter of a Vaishnava, everything falls in place. I've noticed that. I've also observed that. I have also practically, you know, I was traveling with my Guru Maharaj to New Zealand for a change. I've never been to New Zealand, but I went with Maharaj to Hindoja Prabhu's house, Hindoja family's house. I didn't know. And it was Ekadasi like this. And I'm sorry to say, but my mind was saying, these are two rich people, you know. They don't observe Ekadasi. You know, I was talking to Maharaj on the way. I said, Maharaj, today is Ekadasi. You know, like at one time, Maharaj, all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they were saying, Srila Prabhupada, these onions and garlic in this, then almost everyone came to Prabhupada and said, you know, onions and garlic in this, should we? Prabhupada said, quiet, order the prasadam, important life members. So, Maharaj told me off. He said, Shanti. When I went there, in their house, on Ekadasi, this is where, I'm sorry, I picked up a few hints. So my wife now makes, like Rajbhog today, you know, we're going to make nice varieties for Krishna. So, up to that point, I only knew three varieties. Patitanu Saku, you know, which is potato sabji. And then, Samo. Yes? So second thing is like rice, you know, so two things. And then there was another thing called Rajagrosiro. Yeah, so there was a third item, a sweet, and this. Three items. I've been brought up with that. But since joining ISKCON, and since going to Messrs. Hinducha Brothers' house, they had, you know, it's like royalty. There are 12 just servers. There are 12 servers. I don't know how many cooks there are, but there were 12 servers, you know, with nice Indian 5-star Taj Mahal hotel, you know. So first time I said, oh, this is good to go with Maharaj, you know. Good experience. Anyway, so I was surprised, but there were more than 12 varieties of Ekadasi preparations on Ekadasi. So I was completely surprised and taken aback, and then Maharaj took me to their room where Radha Krishna deities are. So, you know, they are devotees. But my impression, you know, first impression, karma kanda, you know, these things. But when you read Bhagavatam and you understand, I think as you mature, you don't narrow your mind. Try and be broad. Just say, everyone is okay. Everyone is devotee except me. I think that's the lesson I learned from Maharaj, that don't point fingers like that, because when you point a finger like that, there are three fingers coming to you. Yes? Everyone accepts? So I have to look at myself, you know. So I had a big lesson to learn that day. So now, 3 minutes, 4 minutes for question time. As Nishkinchana Prabhu says, always. Nice. Yes, we'll give you a mic. Okay, thank you. Sorry, Prabhuji. Nice comment there. Okay. Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to say about this onion and garlic, because I was in Mayapur once And I heard this devotee who was one of the devotees who were there with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to take the onion out of the salad and he didn't eat it. And one day he got up early in the morning and he was saying to his disciples, "Get up, get up. We have to leave this place. Look, we are still sleeping. Our consciousness is gone down because we are eating their food." I just wanted to mention this as a kind of a balance to what you said. Prabhupada, he never did politics. He never saw this is a very important life member. He didn't see importance according to material wealth and status. He only saw an opportunity to preach and bring the people closer to Krishna consciousness.
Absolutely.
And so he never compromised his standards either, but since they were in that house and they were cooking these things.
Yes. Basically, it's time, place, circumstance. You know? So Srila Prabhupada, he, to us, he's very strict. But to somebody else who's trying to give up, even Shamsundar Prabhu, he could not give up a cigarette, but he put his cigarette on Jagannath. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "Something is missing here. You know, there's a small, slight connection, something is missing between you and Krishna. Do you know what that is?" He gave him a clue, you know. So then he knew that it is this cigarette which is coming in the way. So he stopped smoking from that day onwards. But he, you know, Srila Prabhupada has got skill. He's got art. He knows manners. He respects everyone. But as Maharaj said, he, Srila Prabhupada and my Guru Maharaj and great Vaishnavas, they don't see faults. They see the good quality in anybody. And they blow it up. They magnify that good quality. This is the beauty about Maharajas. They see your good qualities and then they fan it. You know, like a little spark in a fire. You fan so it goes bigger. So any good quality in anybody, just magnify. Just say, you sing very nicely. You distribute book very nicely. So then they'll feel happy and they'll feel encouraged. No more. Any other burning questions?
I would like to also say something else, if you allow me.
Yes,
Thank you very much. In the beginning, you said, Prabhu, that people come to Krishna consciousness and some people, they come to take from Krishna.
Sorry, that some should be most people come to take.
Most people come to take.
They don't want to give, they want to take.
They don't want to give to Krishna, they want to take. I just wanted to say that there are four types of pious people that come to Krishna. And I was reading in this book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, when this Bob Cohen is asking these far out questions. And Prabhupada is saying to him, because Bob said, "What if someone comes to Krishna for wealth?"
Yes.
Krishna will make him wealthy? Prabhupada says, "Oh, yes."
Yes.
And he says, "What if he comes, but he doesn't have a good motive, and he wants to use this wealth for not so good things, and he's a bad man?" And Prabhupada is answering, if he comes to Krishna, you cannot say that he is a bad man, because he comes to Krishna to ask for what he wants. And so I just wanted to say that in balance to what you said, because I feel like I cannot look at people who come in front of Krishna as people who come to take.
Oh, right.
Because Krishna, if us ordinary people, we are advised not to see the faults of others, that is, Krishna is the source of it. Anybody who comes in front of him, Krishna does not see any faults.
And I agree with you.
Thank you very much.
It is my misconception. In fact, yes, you are right. Everyone who walks in this temple, they are guests of Krishna. And we have to respect them. It's Atithi Devo Bhava. So yeah. You are right. You are reminding me, I have to respect every single person. But I'm just saying about their, or what happens in practice. Devotees will give service to Krishna, so-called, I don't know if I am a devotee, see. So, if I may be a non-devotee, you understand? So, I don't know.
You are in the eyes of Krishna.
So, you are right. We don't know. Any other questions?
Please forgive my arrogance.
No.
Thank you.
I'll summarize 2 more minutes. There is a video, YouTube video. If anybody wants to know, there is a YouTube video on these 2 verses by Srila Prabhupada. And it is completely different, alright, to the translation in the Bhagavatam. Okay. It is completely different. But in that video, YouTube, certain points are, I have memorized most of it. You can either live a dog's life or change it around, D-O-G into G-O-D. You can live a God's life. So, ISKCON devotees are living God's life. The others are working day and night, you know, working like a dog. And there's another famous Beatles song, working in a, you know, like a hard day's night, you know. There's a nice song by Beatles, Hard Day's Night. So people are working hard day and night just to get some money. With the money, they want to increase their sense gratification. And that's all it is. What we are trying to add to people's life is add Krishna. Once you add Krishna to their, if Krishna is in the center of their activities, then they can work as long as they want, whatever, but they are using it for Krishna. In my house, Krishna is the boss, I am just serving. The temple is there, Lord is there, the house is not a house, it's a home. It's Krishna's home. It's a temple. I think if we change our consciousness to serving attitude, then everyone in the family is serving Krishna, the Lord. So that was the main things which Srila Prabhupada mentioned. People are interested in sense gratification. I want to be the center of activity. So, you know, Maharaj Parikshit, being an emperor, he has so many responsibilities. But then he stopped after associating with Sukadeva Goswami. So, you know, he stopped being the center of activity. He left everything and he surrendered. We have to do that. We have to renounce it. We have to give up this. But it's not one way. Give something up. You have to take something up. So it's give and take. You take up Krishna consciousness, you give up family life, or you stay with the family, but you do like Raghunath Das Goswami, I think. Internally you carry on more and more. Like Srila Prabhupada. 40 years he was preparing himself. Externally he was doing his own thing, looking after family, bringing everyone up. Internally he was preparing. Fighting and writing his books, you know, back to Godhead magazine, printing himself, distributing himself. So much hard work. That's what. So, 3 things. Try, work, come. That's the main thing here. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification. If we, Prabhupada was saying religion, you know, we are not Hindus or Muslims or this or that. Dharma is, the purpose of dharma is to serve. People in the world, they recognize dharma as religion. So, the Sanskrit version of dharma is to serve. That was the one very important point. We have to serve. And that's what ISKCON is doing. We are doing giving service. Service to Krishna. And another good point is destiny. Destiny. Destiny has a big part to play. You can work day and night, but if you are going to get 100 pounds a day, you're going to get 100 pounds a day, no matter how much you work. So, but, you know, you could have a menial work, you work like a dog, or, as Prabhupada mentioned there, you could be this stockbroker or, you know, figure man, and you just press a button, what is the price of this share? And you earn $100,000, Maharaj mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned. $100,000 that man has made in one day by pressing some buttons. So, that is his fate because he's a broker. So we, in destiny, we have, you know, we have our own destiny, basically. That's what Prabhupada says. And that's it, I think. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Any other, you wanted to ask questions? No? Okay. So this is Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai.